Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore, the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the miracles he performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with the disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up, he saw a great crowd coming toward him. And he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for already he had in mind what he's going to do. And Philip said, "It would take more than a half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each person to have a bite." Another disciple, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here's a boy with five small barley loaves and two small fish." That kid had an appetite. Five loaves and two fish. I'm glad Larry hasn't got to see a doctor in 2 years, but I'm happier still that he hasn't got to fast for two more years. That's good. "How far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There's plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had gathered enough to eat, he said to the disciples, "Gather the pieces that left over, let nothing be wasted." They gathered them together and filled 12 baskets full with five barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, "Surely, this is the prophet that should come into the world." The Sea of Galilee is also called the Sea of Gennesaret. It's also called the Sea of Tiberias. And Jesus was preaching. I think he started like after lunch, and he preached till 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock. The Bible says time was getting on. And so Jesus' disciples came and said, "Send the people away because it's getting supper time and we haven't got anything for them to eat." And Jesus said, "Give them something to eat." And pretty soon Philip said, "Well, we don't have anything." And Philip's fellow disciple, Andrew, came along and said, "Well, I found a boy, and he's got his lunch here. Five loaves and two fish." Actually, the Bible says fishes. English professors aren't supposed to say fishes, but the Bible says fishes, so we'll say fishes. "But what are these among so many?" Jesus said, "Tell the people to sit down, nice grass area, in sections of 50. And he took the loaves and bread, and he blessed them, gave thanks to God, which if Jesus gave thanks to God for his meal, I guess you and I should give thanks to God for it. And he broke them, and he passed them out. It is my opinion, and we can't prove this by the text, but I think that when Peter took a fish and gave it to somebody, another fish showed up in his hand. And when Andrew gave somebody some bread, another piece of bread showed up, and they kept doing this and kept doing this. Till they were all filled, had all they wanted, and they gathered 12 baskets left. Awesome miracle. This is the only miracle besides the resurrection of Jesus that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all write about, all four. This was the largest crowd that Jesus ever spoke to, no microphone. 5,000 men If you're conservative and you think the typical Jewish family had just a man, a woman, and their child, that would be 15,000 people, largest ever. If you haven't been with us, we're going through the Gospel of John with the miracles of Jesus. He turned water to wine. He healed a boy from 22 miles away. He healed a man who'd been lame for 38 years. And now this awesome miracle. Dear congregation, there are some things that God wants us to know and learn and apply from this miracle. And here's the first one. I love that power that I have when I do like that. Come on. Remember, when the Lord does a miracle, he can do it again. Yes?
Yes.
When Jesus does a miracle, he has not exhausted his power. When Jesus performs a miracle, he hasn't used up his strength or his power. Why am I saying that? Because Jesus went to a man named Philip and said, Philip, where are we going to get enough to feed all these people? That was Philip's opportunity to say, Jesus, I saw you turn water to wine by just speaking the word, 20 gallons of wine. Jesus, I saw you heal a boy 22 miles away. Jesus, I saw you tell a lame man, get up and walk, and he did. Jesus, I saw those miracles, and you're the one that did it. So feeding 5,000 plus people would be no problem for you. Just go ahead and do it. Because the God who does miracles doesn't stop doing miracles. The God who does one can do another one, and another, and another. Let's be personal. A year ago, a little over a year ago, there was a house sitting over there and an industry sitting here. And I sat down in front of an attorney with Mr. and Mrs. Weicker and pulled out my wallet and gave him $2 for all this. Yeah, yeah. It's a miracle. $2. That's the best purchase I've made in a long time. And then they told us to set aside $30,000 to clear the house and clear the industry. And a man did it for $14,000. Miracle. And then the city told us that tree over there has to come down. Half of it was ours and half of it belonged to the city. And God sent lightning and took our half down. Yeah. God did that. What? That is so funny. It's hilarious because someone gave me a picture of that, and the picture has a rainbow with a tree coming down. And, miracle, miracle, miracle. And someone said, this building's going to cost $115 square foot, and God sent somebody who did it for 85 square foot. Miracle, miracle, miracle. And I was going over to this morning's message. I was walking outside, and a truck stopped me and said, how are you, Mr. Miracle? You're a walking miracle. And it was another minister from the area who knew that God had spared my life. So what I'm getting at is the Lord who does one doesn't mind doing another. And the greatest miracles we haven't talked about yet are changed lives here. That's every time somebody accepts Jesus, that's a miracle. Every time someone leaves a path of sin and life in the fast lane and comes to the Lord, that's a miracle. Okay? And so Philip should have said, Lord, I saw what you did in Cana. You can do it here. Not a problem for you. But I want you to get that. Okay? The second truth is this. There's more power. The Holy Spirit doesn't want anyone thinking less of Jesus. There are groups in our society who don't believe that Jesus is divine, who do not believe that Jesus is the Son of God, If you go with the mm-hmms, the mm-hmms teach that Jesus is less than God. If you go with this cult, they believe that Jesus is less than God. And that cult and this cult, he's less than God. Jesus is not less than God. He's the second person of the Trinity, and he was there in the beginning with the Father creating. And he's awesome, and he's our Savior. And why I put this in here was this. We see in the text that Jesus says to Philip, where are we going to get food for all these people? When you see that in the text, someone is bound to say, was Jesus surprised? Was Jesus embarrassed and he couldn't take care of these? Was he taken back? That is why the Holy Spirit inspired John to say this. He knew what he would do. God is never taken by surprise. God is never taken back. There's never a situation that God's not up to it. Jesus wanted to multiply bread and fish, but he also wanted to multiply Philip's faith. So he tested him and said, where are we going to get it? Not because he didn't know. And that's why the Holy Spirit said he knew what he would do. I want the congregation to know this morning that God always knows what he's doing. There's never a time that God doesn't know what he's doing. He said, Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your son, the son you love, the son of your old age, because God knew what he was doing. He knew he was going to provide a ram in the thicket. Joseph, I'm going to allow you to be sold into slavery and go into prison, because God knew he'd use Joseph later on to save the entire nation during a famine. He knew. Blowing trumpets is not a good military strategy for knocking down a wall. But God knew what he's doing. He always does. God, we're to love him, we're to embrace him, we're to appreciate him, but we don't dare question him. God does not know us an explanation because he always knows what he is doing. Well, why did this sickness come into my family? He knows what he's doing. Why did he take my loved one? He knows what he's doing. We don't know. Let me get through this before you take it wrong. I married Nancy. Her name was Murphy. I'm living with Murphy's Law for 49 years. I married Nancy. I want you to listen to this. I had no idea what a blessing she was to my life. She is one great preacher's wife. But the reason I really want to say this is, I'm not sure when I married her, don't laugh, that I knew what I was doing. But God knew what he was doing when he gave me her. Amen. He knew that, you see. Sometimes we get blessed and it's not our fault. I'll let you know when something's funny, okay? So God only knows it. So here he says, Philip, we're going to feed these people. And so Philip decided to count pennies. Here's a penny, here's a penny, here's a penny, here's a penny. Judas, what you got? Here's a penny, here's a penny, here's a penny. Lord, we haven't got enough. He was testing Philip. He didn't need to count pennies because he had the power of Jesus right next to him. And I could get personal here with this church. Well, can we make our payments? Can we count our pennies? We have a Lord with us. We haven't got to be anxious about that. He who did miracles to bring us to this point isn't done working with us as a congregation. And so he said to Philip, now the other disciples said, send them away. And I think the reason Jesus talked to Philip was because he saw in Philip a sympathetic heart that cared about people. So, Philip, what are we going to do? I want you to know that this congregation has a lot of people in it that really care about other people. We saw that last Sunday with Betty in Sunday school. People just rallied and cared about her. Amen. God will never use someone with a cold heart. He'll never use someone with a hard heart. He only uses people who have a heart of compassion. This congregation has proven to me that you care about your preacher, and this preacher cares about this congregation. And so when we care about each other, this is not in my manuscript, but Betty's husband, Billy, can you hear me, Betty? I'd preach my heart out, and he'd come out saying, "Someday you're going to be a good preacher." I don't know whether to hug him or slug him. I know, I know. But I was going to tell you, preachers don't usually get... Anyway. A caring church. Yeah, we want to fill the place, but we'll fill it with the gospel and with people like you who care. Next point. Before there's a blessing, there has to be a breaking. Oh my goodness. I hope that God helps me get this across to you. Andrew came up and said, "There's a little boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish, but what's he among so many?" Three things. Here's the first one. Satan tried to convince the disciples the little boy couldn't do much. He's a little boy with his lunch. What can he do among these people? And so it's time to make this contemporary with you. Well, I'm old. I can't do much for the Lord anymore because I'm old. I'm just a kid. I'm young. I can't do much for the Lord anymore. I'm a single mom. I can't do much for the Lord anymore. I don't have any resources. I can't do much for the Lord anymore. Yes, you can. When we give God our not enough, He takes it and makes it more than enough. Don't let anyone convince you that you can't do anything for the Lord. If God strikes you right now with a stroke and puts you on a bed for 6 months, you can pray. You can do things for the Lord that you never thought of doing for the Lord. And my, what would happen if all of us found something to do for the Lord here? Second, I love this point. God uses people that others don't count. Where's that in the text? The Bible says that Jesus fed 5,000 men. They didn't count the women. They didn't count the children. There's probably 15 or 20,000 people. And there's a little boy that didn't get counted. That had to, God used the one that didn't get counted to bless people. He'll use, you take this back to Danny. He'll use Danny. She'll sing for the Lord. He'll use you. He will. God knows what he's doing. God knew that Jim and Kathy Wumbledorf were going to leave us, so he brought us joy in more ways than one. God knew that Joy would have her hands full with mom and be a burden, so he brought us Billy. God always knows what he's doing. Amen. He knows. And so, don't ever say, "I'm too old, I'm too young, I can't do it, I haven't got the resources." In our first ministry, I decided we needed a bus. It was back when I was thick-skulled. The elders said, "We don't need a bus." I went and took all the money out of the bank and borrowed some from my mom, and it was a closed, sealed bid to buy a bus. I got the bus. It looked like a bus that if you walked by it and burped, it'd fall apart. But I got it. And someone said, well, who's going to drive the bus? And I drove the bus. That, by the way, that's another miracle, Justin driving a bus. And I went around, and someone said, well, and they were at the front door waiting with their arms folded to see how many kids would come the first Sunday on the bus. And the first Sunday, I had 21 kids on the bus, brought them in there. So someone else said, well, we can't have our preacher driving the bus. I'll drive the bus. But the reason I tell you that story is a true story. You can look it up, or again, ask my wife if you think about it. Those children brought their parents. A little child shall lead them. Don't ever belittle someone and say, you can't make a difference for the kingdom because they did. Okay, our last point. The little that we have when given to the Lord becomes much. When you give to God, it's an investment in the kingdom. Now, first of all, you can't give to God unless you've given yourself. You've got to give yourself to the Lord. You've got to become a Christian. You've got to accept Jesus, or it won't do any good. God doesn't need your money. God's not broke. Come to the Lord first. But once you come to Him, then you give to Him, and He'll take your not enough and make it more than enough. That's what He does. And now here's where I just need prayer. In this passage, before there was a blessing, there was a breaking. And so one night, God sent an angel, and the angel wrestled with Jacob all night. And Jacob said, I won't let you go unless you bless me. And the angel poked him in the thigh, and he limped the rest of his life. He was broken. Then he was blessed. One night, David saw a woman taking a bath, and he called for her and committed adultery. And then when she found out she was pregnant, he had her husband killed. And then when the baby was born, the baby became ill. And David fasted and prayed and fell on his face and said, God, please save my son. And God took the baby, because before David could get blessed, he had to be broken. That's when David wrote, the sacrifice to God is a broken heart. Hosea was a preacher. Him and his wife had three children. Then she found other lovers and wanted them more than her husband. And she sold herself and ended up on the slavery block. And God told Hosea, go back and buy your wife back. And he had to break him before he could bless him. The Bible tells us late in Jesus' life that a woman came into Simon the leper's house with a big vial of perfume. And she broke it, and it filled the room with the aroma, with the blessing of the perfume, because before you're blessed, you have to be broken. And this is very important. But Jesus, when he was crucified, you can look it up, you can Google it. Around your heart, there's a sac called the pericardium. And when you're under stress and when you're hurting, that pericardium enlarges and fills with water. And the Bible tells us that when a soldier was told to break the legs of Jesus, they found Jesus already dead, so he took a spear and thrust it up through his side, and the Bible tells us that blood and water came out. I need to tell you that Jesus died of exhaustion. He died from hemorrhaging and loss of blood, but he also died of a broken heart. That's why we're blessed, because he was broken before the blessing. That's why we have a Savior. He was broken before that. Now, I have three questions, and it goes like this. Is anybody here thankful that God forgives sin? Anybody? Is anybody here thankful that Jesus took your place? Is anyone here thankful for a Savior who makes you right with God? Yes. Are you? Yes. Then listen. When you take the Lord's Supper, before the blessing, he has to be broken. In the upper room, he broke bread and said, "This is my body." And the blessing of forgiveness and the blessing of being right with God and the blessing of having your sins removed all come after the breaking. Are you with me?
Yes.
Okay. So here's the Michiana Church of Christ. Probably about 130 people, give or take some. And around us are communities. There's the city of Dowagiac, Cassopolis, Decatur, Niles, Vandalia, Diamond Lake, Bonnell Lake, the metropolis of Valinia. That was a joke. All around us. And it'd be the easiest thing in the world to say what the disciples said. Who are we? See, please stay with me. When we have Jesus, we have the bread of life.
Amen.
It's easy for us to say, who are we among so many? But if we give what we have to Jesus, he takes our not enough and makes it more than enough.
Amen.
And we can reach people in this community and surrounding communities. Because Jesus said, when they got the boys lunch, bring it to me. Bring it to me. Bring your money, I'll multiply it. Bring your talents, I'll multiply it. Bring your time, I'll multiply it. I have a request, and then we'll wrap up this sermon. If you remember, and you may not, some of you may already be doing this. When we start receiving an offering here, say a prayer and say, God, this is not enough, but I'm giving it to your hands to make it more than enough. And he'll do that.
Yeah.
Well, let's stand. Let's sing together and worship together with our closing song, Invitations Open. To anyone who wants to accept Jesus, anyone who wants to be baptized into Christ, anyone who's already a member and wants to place their fellowship, let's worship together. Awesome song. Worship.
True.
Let's try that one more
it's
time.
It's still true.
Complimented Billy, look what he did to us. I just can't believe it. God brought you here. Okay. So, we have others coming. Please, if you have a need, come. If not, please worship. This is the last time we'll sing this song.
Service, let us carry the Christianity out into the public so we may win more people over to you. Teach us, bless us, and help us out. Help these individuals that came this morning, for you know their heart and you know what they need in prayer. And dear Heavenly Father, be with this church and bless us. Let us be a shining example to the community. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.